For today's 10-minute halacha shiur, we're going to discuss things that people get wrong at the Seder, that are misconceptions about the Seder night. This is not an exhaustive list, but it's all the things that I could think of this morning as I was trying to put a list together. So we're not going to spend much time on each of them. I put together a list of 13 items that I think people make mistakes about at the Seder. First item on the list, and this is not in order either, I forgot to arrange it chronologically in terms of the Seder. First item I have on the list is in terms of the ingredients for charoses. So everyone knows that you're supposed to put a tapuach in the charoses. What a lot of people don't realize is that tapuach in Biblical and Mishnaic Hebrew does not mean apple. Tapuach actually means, probably means a citrus fruit. It means something like that. It may mean an apricot, an esrog, different suggestions. Apples did not grow in Eretz Yisrael in the times of the Mishnah, nor in the times of Tanakh. So it's very unlikely that tapuach means an apple. So really the ideal thing to use for charoses, to put in the charoses, is some type of citrus fruit, maybe an orange, lemon, something like that, but probably not an apple. I believe Sfardim do not put apples in their charoses. I could be wrong about that, but I think there are those that have a minhag not to put apples in their charoses. So that is number one. Second item on the list, we're just going to be going down the list, we'll see if it takes us 10 minutes. Second item on the list is a lot of people make a mistake about the sheer kezias, about how big a kezias actually is. Now, it's a little bit trite to say that I have a great chiddush that a kezias is the size of an olive, because it's really not that simple. There is a lot of discussion about how big an olive is, and it makes it onto the page of Shulchan Aruch, whether it's a shlish beitza or a chatzi beitza, and it's not as straightforward as one might think. But what you do have, a lot of people do sometimes, is they have these gigantic shiurim of how much matzah they need to eat for a kezias, and they assume that they need to swallow it all within, they need to eat it all within 2 minutes, because that's a kedei achilas pras. Whether or not you need to actually eat it within a given time of kedei achilas pras, it certainly needs to be eaten with the kedei achilas pras. How to define kedei achilas pras is a major machlokes aposkim. Minchas Chinuch holds that kedei achilas pras is defined by each food. So if a pras equals 6 kezeisim, and you need to eat 1 kezias in the amount of time that it takes to eat a pras of food, that a normal person would take to eat a pras of that food, that means that if you hold a kezias, let's say some gigantic shear, let's say you hold a kezias is 3/4 of a hand shmura matzah, then you have the amount of time, let's work with numbers that I could do the math easier on. Let's say you hold a kezias is a half of a hand shmura matzah, you have the amount of time that it would take a normal person to eat, eating normally, 3 full hand shmura matzah. So as long as you just eat normally, you don't have to be stuffing it in your face and just, you know, going at it and pounding away. And as long as you eat normally, according to the Minchas Chinuch, granted this is against the Mishnah Berurah, but according to the Minchas Chinuch, that would be enough for kezayis b'kdei achilas pras, Rav Shechter al tesvei l'maisa. In addition to that, it's not so pashut at all that there's such a giant shear for a kezayis. Rav Shechter, when we asked him how big a kezayis is, he said roughly like this big. He made his size like 3 by 3 inches or so is the size of a kezayis. If you have that much matzah. They say the stipler used to measure a kezias by the palm of his hand. The size of the palm of his hand was what he considered to be a kezias. Rav Shechter said that his father-in-law spent time by the Seder of Rav Shimon Shkup, and he lived with Rav Shimon Shkup for a couple of years when he was writing the Shari Yosher, and Rav Shimon used to take a matzah and divide up the matzah to all the people at the Seder to have a kezias from the one matzah, 5 or 6 different kezias from the one matzah. And he wasn't a Hasidic Rebbe, it was a Baal Meifes, who the matzah was growing. He was just giving the matzah. There was 1/5, 1/6 of the matzah equals a kezias of matzah. So it is kedai, the truth is, to be a little more machmir on how much a kezias is for the first kezias midoraisa on the first night, but not necessarily for the other kezias. And that's what Mishnah Berurah says. We should be machmir for a chatzi beitza on the first kezias on the first night, and then afterwards a shlish beitza would be good enough. A third of a kebeitza would be good enough. Again, not going into all of the details of shiurim, it would take a lot longer to do that. Another seder misconception is that a lot of people think that if you do this, if you just lean into the air, that that's called haseba. Haseba is actually a luxurious type of sitting. They used to sit on these fancy couches at their table, and it's really more like a lying down kind of thing, but certainly at the very least you have to be leaning on something. It shouldn't be something that's very uncomfortable, that's awkward. It should be comfortable. It should be something that you certainly, at the very least, you need to be leaning on a cushion or something like that, and not just to lean in midair. So that is another misconception. Number 4 on the list, a lot of times women believe believe that they do not have to eat a shir kezayis of matzah and marar. I think it's the fault of those of us who are super machmir in the shir of matzah that turns the women off from wanting to try to eat a kezayis of matzah, because they look at people stuffing their face and trying to swallow it in a very short amount of time, and they say, I don't know what I'm going to do, but it's not going to be that. And they'll just take a little nibble of something, of matzah or marar, without eating a full kezayis. Women are also chayiv to eat a kezayis of matzah marar. They're chayiv in all the mitzvahs halayla. It's a beferish of Gemara that women are chayiv in the mitzvah of matzah, because kol sheyashno bal tochal chametz, the Gemara Pesachim says, anyone who's chayiv in the iser to eat chametz is also chayiv in komachal matzah, has to go and eat matzah, and all the mitzvahs halayla women are included in along those lines. Women are also chayiv in the mitzvah of Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim. The mitzvah of Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim is fulfilled by darshaning the psukim Me'arami Ovid Avi, by being masal b'gnos Mitzrayim b'shevach. There are certain basic structural parts of the mitzvah of Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim. You do not necessarily need to know the story, or need to say the story of the rabbis in Bnei Brak and the Harei Anikiv and Shem Shana to be yotzei the mitzvah of Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim, but you do need a question answer. You do need the drushes of the psukim of Me'arami Ovid Avi. That's says in the Mishnah, you need a mask of from Sayyid B'Shevach, and most importantly, you need Kol Shalom or Shosh Dvar Malala Lo Yatsi Yidei Chavasa Pesach. You need to say Matzah Zul Shema, Marah Zul Shema. You have to say Pesach Matzah Marah. And very often you find that at the Seder, once you're winding down already, the Maggid, and you're at Pesach Matzah Marah, so the women are already in the kitchen preparing for the Shulchan Aruch, they're already preparing for the Su'uda. That's not a good thing, because they are also chayiv in they're also lo yatsi yidei chavaso if they don't say Pesach Matzah Marah. Women are chayiv in that part of the Seder as well. Another Seder misconception is that very often you'll have two options for Marah at the Seder. So the way people will say it is, do you want the real Marah, or do you want the lettuce? So in fact, the real Marah is the lettuce. The Mishnah Maseches Pesachim lists off five vegetables that are kosher to use for Marah. Lettuce is number one on the list. We are confident, we know what the number one thing is. That is lettuce, and that is that's chasa. In fact, we just said in Shir last week, the Sefer HaChinuch writes that it's a hidur mitzvah to use lettuce for marar, because it's called chasa. And chasa reminds us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has rachmanus on Klal Yisrael. So in the shame of the vegetable, there's a hidur. It's a very interesting chiddush that you not only have hidur in a cheftzah mitzvah, not only a hidur in a maisav mitzvah, you actually have a hidur in a kavana in the mitzvah, that it's a hidur mitzvah to use lettuce. That is the ideal thing to use for marah. Now, it should be noted, there are many poskim that held that if lettuce doesn't taste bitter, that you shouldn't use it, and you should use something that actually tastes bitter. There are other poskim that had reservations about lettuce because of the bug issues and problems, but pashut pshat, just pashut reading of the Mishnah, lettuce is the real marah. You then have to figure out if there's enough evidence to say that maybe you can be yotze with horseradish as well. Some suggest horseradish is also on the list of the Mishnah. Others say that horseradish is not one of the vegetables on the list of the Mishnah. It's just the only thing we had. We didn't have any of the vegetables on the list of the Mishnah. Okay, so you got to figure that out also. But real marar is the lettuce. Another misconception. There is no mitzvah in the Torah of Avigadta la'avicha. There is a mitzvah in the Torah of Avigadta l'bincha. The father is supposed to tell his children the story. There is no mitzvah in the Torah for a child to sit there zugging gematrias all night to his father so that the father will know what he's paying his tuition for. The children are supposed to ask questions. They should be encouraged to ask questions. They should be encouraged to think, to use their brains to ask questions. You should do unusual things to make them ask questions. And the answer shouldn't always be so that you can ask. The answer should involve something about the actual story of Yetzias Mitzrayim. So when you do something unusual to make one of your nephews or something ask a question, make sure that you're ready with an answer that somehow will relate to Yetzias Mitzrayim. Now the Another misconception is that people believe that since we know that you're supposed to, if you stay up all night being marbel usaper b'tzias Mitzrayim, I raise a meshubach to learn all night shira shirim and be misaper b'tzias Mitzrayim. So people think that means that you should extend magid so long that you don't even get to the afikom until 3 in the morning, and the last of the dalet kosos till 3:30 in the morning, and then you'll be able to show off in shul the next day. Look at these bags under my eye. We're so from. We were up all night. And then that is not the halacha. The halacha is that the afikomen must be finished by chatzos. The Ramah holds Dalit Kosos need to be finished by Chatzos, not only that the Afikoman needs to be finished by Chatzos. So yesterday we discussed the Tanai of the Avni Nezer. Okay, some like it, some don't like it. The Avni Nezer liked it, everyone else didn't like it. Okay, so there may be other possibilities of what to do, but the Afikoman at the very least has to be finished by Chatzos. The Ramah holds even Dalit Kosos. The Gras says, not just Afikoman is good enough. Halavai, if everyone finished the Afikoman by Chatzos, that would be good enough. After the Seder, if you want to stay up and be marble, Saper, B'tzias Mitzrayim, Matovu Manayim, that's wonderful. I mentioned Rav Gigi was in North Woodbury a couple of weeks ago with Rashiv in Haratzion. He said, with Migil Efes, I was raised to say Shira Shirim all night, the night of the Seder. From the age of zero, that's what he did. Zero is pretty young, that's impressive. Now, another misconception that people have is that people like charoses. That's not a misconception. That's okay to like charoses. But there's no mitzvah achila of charoses. You don't have a mitzvah of eating a kazayis of charoses. In fact, it sounds from the Shulchan Aruch, sounds from the Machlok, Rishonim, whether there's a mitzvah of eating charoses. But we paskin that the maror is supposed to be dipped into the charoses, shaken off, and then eaten as maror. You're not supposed to pile on charoses on the maror just because charoses is way more delicious than maror is. If you want to eat charoses later on during the Seder, because on day, you have all Seder long. You can eat charoses during the entire Shulchan Aruch if you really like it that much and you're not just eating it because it's the best of the bad options at that stage in the day when you're starving. This may also relate to this issue of whether there's a mitzvah achilas charoses may relate to an issue of whether you're allowed to eat charoses on Erev Pesach. Erev Pesach, you really start, there's nothing to eat. So can you eat charoses on Erev Pesach? So if you hold there's a mitzvah achilas charoses on the night of the Seder, probably you shouldn't eat an Erev Pesach. Just like you shouldn't, there's an issur to eat matzah, and you shouldn't drink wine on Erev Pesach, because anything that you have a mitzvah achilas that night, you're supposed to avoid eating earlier that day. But if there's no mitzvah achilas charoses, just something you dip in to take away the sharpness of the maror, or whatever it is, the some element of the maror, so then l'chora you'd be allowed to eat it. Another thing that people make a mistake about is that if I always do this in my high school share, I always say, what does the word korech mean? And everyone always says korech means sandwich. Korech does not mean sandwich anywhere in Shas. Korech always means to wrap. It means that you wrap something. Why do we think korech means sandwich? Because our matzahs are crackers. They're not soft, and therefore we can't wrap anything in them. So some Rishonim say that no, korech doesn't mean you're supposed to wrap the matzah around the maror. It means you're supposed to wrap the maror around the matzah. You try wrapping a piece of horseradish around something. Obviously, the maror they're assuming is the lettuce, that you could wrap it around the matzah. Now, we paskin that we wrap the matzah around the maror. And probably what korech meant was that it was a soft matzah, like the svarta meat. That's, again, this is not a halachic issue. There's nothing wrong with making a korech sandwich with our matzos. Just we shouldn't lose sight of what the translation of the word is, at least. You picture the Korban Pesach, when they had Pesach, matzah, maror all together. It was korchem biyachad. What did it mean? It meant so they had a shawarma, that they would take a lafa, which is what the Sephardi matzahs look like, and put some lamb in it. That's the Korban Pesach, and the lettuce for the maror. Okay, no hummus, but other than that, it was probably a very delicious shawarma. I don't know if they had those greasy paper bags underneath it, but okay, but you know, you had a shawarma. The another two more, and then we'll stop. Another unless you have more suggestions. Another misconception. A lot of people don't realize that when we get to Hallel in the night of the Seder, there is a tzura to how to say Hallel. Hallel was instituted to be said like a Dover Sheba Kedusha. Certain parts of Hallel, Baniya, Bamiru, the Mishnayos talk about this in the Masechta Sukkah, that when you get to the Hodul Hashem Kitov, it's supposed to be said responsively, that there's a leader and then everyone responds, just like you say Hallel and Shul. Ana Hashem Moshiyana, the same thing. A lot of times, and again, I haven't been to that many different families Siddurim. I've only been to my own family Siddurim, so I'm assuming that, you know, based on that video of stuff people say at the Seder, I'm assuming everyone's family is exactly like mine. But a lot of times, by the time you get to Hallel, the people are just like running through it. They're just like saying the Hallel or singing it or whatever, and everyone sings it together. But when you get, and that's fine, that's wonderful for everyone to sing it together. The Gemara describes that that when they would say Hallel, the roof would cave in. They were saying Hallel on the rooftops in Yerushalayim, and it was an amazing experience. But when you get to those parts, it should be said Ba'mirvaniya. It should be said with an answering, with a responsive element to it. That's Beferish Ramah. Ramah and Simtafayin Taz, Nilchus Pesach, says that Hallel is supposed to be said that way. And the final misconception is that Eliyahu HaNavi comes to drink the wine at the Seder. Eliyahu HaNavi may or may not come to the Seder. That's also not so pashut. The first mention of Eliyahu Navi having anything. First mention of a kos shel Eliyahu. Good Jewish trivia. First mention of kos shel Eliyahu. Tanaim amuraim gaonim or rishonim. Answer? None of the above. Achronim, the late 17th century, is the first time that we have any mention of a kos shel Eliyahu. Now, we do have mention of a fifth kos. There is a concept of a fifth kos. That's already in the Rif. The Rif thinks that's in Tanaim. The Rif says that's Rabbi Tarfon's Shita, that you're supposed to have a fifth kos. But that means that there should be a fifth kos for everybody, and pashtus to drink the fifth kos. The Rambam has a little different, not to drink the fifth kos, just to pour it, but nothing about Eliyahu HaNavi. Eliyahu HaNavi came in much later in the story. There's reasons why you would think Eliyahu HaNavi would have something to do with this. We're celebrating past Geula and hoping that this is this will lead to a future Geula, and before Mashiach comes, Eliyahu HaNavi comes a day early. The Gemara in Erev and Daf Mem Gimel about Tchum L'Malamei Asara talks about how Eliyahu HaNavi could possibly come, you know, on Shabbos if he's coming from outside the Tchum, right? So the Gemara makes very clear based on the Pesukim that Eliyahu HaNavi comes a day before Mashiach, and he's gonna herald the coming of Mashiach. So it certainly makes sense to have Eliyahu HaNavi involved in some way at the Seder, but no need to. It's always fun to trick the kids, but there's no need to trick the kids and make them feel like that's a critical part of the Seder. In fact, the opening the door for Shvuah Hamascha very likely has nothing to do with Eliyahu HaNavi. It has to do with something. There's something to that minhag. That minhag is centuries old, but very. That minhag is recorded in the Ramah there, so that's a good minhag, it's an important minhag, but very likely has nothing to do with Eliyahu HaNavi. Again, I'm open for more suggestions of interesting things that people get wrong at the Seder. That's today's Temin Halacha Shiur.